ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest for the first 2 hours, last hour, and throughout this hour is Mike Gendron. His website is proclaimingthegospel.org, and bookmark that site. You can get a free newsletter if you sign up on the right-hand side of the page, and you can get a look at the YouTube channel at some of their content, from past videos to articles to social media and more. They're at proclaimingthegospel.org. Mike, where would you like to start this hour? You were mentioning a one-world religious system. We talked some about the deception that's going on in the churches, this false unity. We hit on a number of issues, and you also laid out a lot of the problems with the, you know, religious spirit and the things that a religion creates to believe in versus the gospel that we have, that we're supposed to read and believe in instead of the religion, and how that has been interfering with each other. Where do you want to go this hour?
Hey, Joe, you're cutting out.
Oh, I apologize. We'll check our sound on this end. Is it choppy? Are you hearing every other word? Or
no, it's just a couple of blank spots, but I hear you loud and clear now.
Okay, great. Where do you want to go this hour? We hit on a number of issues in the last segment, from the one world religion to the deception in the last days, the deception of the religiousness versus the gospel in the scriptures. Where do you want to start this hour?
Well, it would probably be good to talk a little bit about this Jesuit Pope, Pope Francis, because he has been one of the most controversial popes in the history of the Roman Catholic religion. And I think he's being loved by all because of a false sense of humility. And I say that because he is wearing the titles given to Almighty God. He has stolen the three titles given to the triune God. He dares to say that he is the head of the church, and yet he never died for the church like the Lord Jesus did. And so to name himself as the head of the church is blasphemy against the Lord Jesus. He also dares to call himself the Holy Father, and he says he has supreme and unhindered authority over all people. But we know that the only time the Bible mentions Holy Father is in the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying to his one and only Holy Father. And so for the Pope to steal that title as well is such arrogance. And then he also dares to steal the title given to the Holy Spirit, which is the Vicar of Christ. Jesus said, "I must go, but I will send someone in my place." He wasn't referring to the papacy, but to the Holy Spirit. And so we have this Pope who steals the titles given to the triune God, but because of his foot washings, everybody thinks he's really humble. He condemns those who do not submit to his infallible dogmas. He also proclaims a false and fatal gospel that leads people to the eternal lake of fire. And once again, I don't want to say things without letting your listeners know that I am speaking the truth in love. I want Roman Catholics to come to a knowledge of the true gospel and repent from the false gospel of the Roman Catholic religion. We know that the gospel that the Catholic Church teaches is a works righteousness salvation. They actually teach that water baptism is what regenerates the soul. That is, of course, a work of the Holy Spirit, not of a Roman Catholic priest. The sacrament of baptism is also a sacrament that is said to justify the Roman Catholic. And the Bible says justification is by faith. Well, how can a seven-day-old infant have the capacity to believe anything? And so the Roman Catholic Church dares to say that the sacrament of water baptism that is administered to seven-day-old babies places them on the road to heaven. But when they commit a mortal sin, they must do another sacrament called penance to be re-justified. And so the sacraments are necessary to maintain their salvation. This, of course, is another gospel. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 said, if anyone comes preaching another gospel, he even said, if I come preaching another gospel, they are to be condemned. They are to be anathema, turned over to God for destruction. Now remember, he said that because the Judaizers wanted to add circumcision as a requirement for salvation for the Gentiles. And so Paul condemned them because they added one requirement. The Catholic Church has added seven requirements to the gospel, and so they have perverted the gospel even more so than the Judaizers. We also see the Pope declaring himself to be a vicar of Christ. And the Apostle Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Their end will correspond to their deeds. That's why the Roman Catholic Church claims to be the one true church, because they have successors of the 12 apostles. They are said to be bishops of their church. Before the break, I mentioned the holy door that's at St. Peter's right now. The Pope actually opened that on December 8th last year. And anyone who goes through that door will actually receive a plenary indulgence, which means all of their sins have been forgiven. Well, the Lord Jesus claimed to be the only door of salvation. In John chapter 10, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. That would be the Pope. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so we have all of these comments being made by the Pope. Last year, he installed super confessors. He appointed 1,000 priests to forgive sins that only top-level officials previously had the authority to forgive. And so, once again, we know that only God can forgive sins, and we can go directly to God. We don't need to go through other mediators. The Lord Jesus is the only mediator. Jesus said that lying signs and wonders will deceive even the elect if possible. And we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. We're seeing those deceptive signs being used throughout the world by the devil today. One of the things the Pope said, and this is part of his ecumenical ploy to unite all the people of the earth together under the papacy, he said that all children, everyone is a child of God. He went on to say, and I quote, everyone is a child of the same God. Many think differently or see God in different ways, but there is only one certainty. We are all children of God. We mentioned earlier that Roman Catholic priests and popes don't know the Bible, and it's clearly evident that the Pope doesn't know the Bible, because the Bible tells us that some are children of God and some are children of the devil. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, it says that those who practice righteousness are of God, and those who do not practice righteousness are children of the devil. And then we also see Jesus in John chapter 8 confronting the apostate religious leaders of his day, telling them, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. And so this is why we have this ministry, to challenge people to look to the Bible and see what the Word of God says and not believe what the Word of man is teaching. The Catholic Church has followed apostate doctrines for over 1,600 years now, and Catholics will never know they're being deceived until they open the Bible and start reading the truth of God's Word. And that's why we've developed so many resources, not only for Roman Catholics, but for anyone who is a victim of religious deception. You know, there's a passage in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, where Paul says we are to pray for those who are in opposition to the gospel so that they would come to a knowledge of the truth and escape the snare of the devil who holds them captive to do his will. We know the devil is the prince of this world, and he's holding many people captive, and he's doing it through deceptive lies. Jesus said the only way that you can be set free from the snare of the devil is to abide in his word. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what he told in the context of John chapter 8. Those who are being deceived need to abide in the word so they can know the truth. So that's my heart's desire, is that your listeners will reach out to any Roman Catholics that they know, challenge them in their faith, encourage them to trust Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior, and to submit to the supreme authority of God's Word in all matters of faith. And so we have a website that will help them to do that, and many resources that we can offer. You know, we started this ministry 26 years ago, and the way we did it, we just started inviting Roman Catholics over to our house every Tuesday night, and we showed a short gospel video, and then we answered their questions. Within 3 months, we saw 17 Roman Catholics exchange their religion for a relationship with Christ, and that was the genesis of this ministry. Catholics that were born again kept coming back saying, we want to learn more about the Bible. So we started Wednesday night Bible studies. And then we started printing gospel tracts and newsletters so that they could share that with their friends. And God has taken this ministry all over the world. We literally stand in awe of what he has done with a couple of people that made themselves available and obedient to the Great Commission. And so we would love to help anybody that is listening, if they have questions about their faith, whether or not they have genuine faith, you can email us, you can give us a call, and we'd be glad to help them out. That's what we're here for. And this is a labor of love, I must say. We do this 24/7. We answer all of our emails. We answer all of our phone calls. It's our heart's desire to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus and take his message throughout the world to a world that is under the power and influence of the devil and deceived by many false religions. So I thank you again for the privilege of sharing this on your radio show.
Absolutely. And you said you started this by doing a introductory kind of Bible study into with friends who were part of the Roman Catholic Church. Do you still have people who attend the churches to find people to come back out of the church?
Oh, yes, we do. In fact, we actually go where lost people are. On Resurrection Sunday and Christmas Eve, we will go out to Roman Catholic churches, and we will engage them with the gospel of Christ. One of our gospel tracts is called The Greatest News Ever Told About the Greatest Gift Ever Given from the Greatest Man Who Ever Lived, and it's made up of all Scripture. And so when we go out to Catholic churches on Christmas Eve, we actually engage people and ask them, what's the greatest gift you've ever received? Since they're in the mindset of receiving and giving gifts on Christmas Eve, it's amazing how many gifts Roman Catholics will come up with, but not one will mention the gift of eternal life. And so this is an open door to talk about eternal life and the greatest gift that Jesus offers. There's no greater gift than eternal life, and it is indeed the greatest news anybody could ever hear. It's really amazing, as we go out to Catholic churches, oftentimes we find a larger audience than we first realized we would. One particular Christmas Eve, there was a producer of a Catholic radio program that we engaged, and he asked if we'd come on Catholic radio the next week and explain why we were there evangelizing Roman Catholics. And I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to proclaim the gospel of grace over Catholic radio. And so the Lord gave us that opportunity, and I know that they were trying to trip me up, but every question they asked me, I answered it with the power and authority of God's word. Another opportunity came up when one of the leading Catholic apologists and asked me if I would debate him for a Catholic Answers magazine, which is the largest circulation of Catholic magazines in the world. And the debate was going to be on the eternal security of the believer. Roman Catholics deny that you can know that you have eternal life. They only have conditional life. And so I agreed to debate this man. And the debate actually went out in the magazine as promised, and we stand in awe of what God did, because this debate, I furnished scripture after scripture pointing to not only the sufficiency of Christ, but the power and promise of the gospel, that God will keep those that he brings to life in Christ. And so for the first time, many Catholics around the world got to see a publication proclaiming the eternal security of the believer. And so this is available on our website as well, the debate that took place, and anybody can go and check that out. It's on the front page of our website, proclaimingthegospel.org. Our gospel tracts are there too, and that's a great way to get the gospel out as we sow the seed of God's word. We know the word of God is the imperishable seed that will bring forth life when it falls on fertile soil. And so that's what we do throughout the day as we engage people. We leave them the gospel and encourage them to read it, because God doesn't promise anyone tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. So we have to have a sense of urgency as we evangelize for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater privilege than to be an ambassador to the King of Kings, and that's what every Christian is. And the Great Commission is not an option for Christians. It's a command that needs to be obeyed. There's no greater act of love than to show those who are headed toward Hell's Gate the only road that leads to heaven, and that's through Christ. And that's what we're about. We just produce a lot of evangelistic gospel resources in the hopes that people will avail themselves to them. And we make them available. And for your listeners, if they will either call us or email us and mention that they heard the broadcast, we will give them 10% off their first order of all the resources that we have. They too can do what we did and invite people over by watching a DVD and then pause it and answer questions and then show them the narrow road that leads to life. My uncle was a priest, and I'll remember one evening he came over, and we opened the Bible, and he didn't have answers for God's word, and he got very frustrated. And he finally threw up his hands, and he said, "Mike, how can 1 billion Catholics be wrong?" And I said, "Well, Father Charles, let me let Jesus answer that for you." And so I turned to Matthew 7, and I said, "Read what Jesus said. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and very few find it. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it." The fact that over 1 billion Roman Catholics are on the same road, clearly it shows that they are on the wrong road that leads to destruction. And so they need to get off and follow Christ through the narrow gate. That's the only way to have eternal life. Well, my dear old uncle excused himself and went to bed, because, again, Roman Catholic priests do not have an answer for God's word.
Very interesting. We're talking with Mike Jenneran. I want to ask you this, because I'm a kind of a big picture guy, and I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the population of the world. I mean, take a few steps back a little bit here, if you don't mind. In the United States alone, 70.8% by Pew Research statistics identify themselves as being Christian. Of that 70.8%, roughly 20.8% identify as being Catholic. And that, there's no differentiation between Roman Catholic and Catholic. But we'll just say 20. So there are many, many people. Now, looking at the big picture here, we see just this calamity of events taking place all across the world. We see Christians being persecuted. We see, regardless of denomination, the Christians are a target. we see here in the United States, or, well, in the West, more appropriately, policy decisions being made by the Pope, socialism being perpetuated by the Pope, New World, One World Order, One World Religion being perpetuated by the Pope. We're not talking about evangelical Christians. We're talking about the Vatican, okay? Now, again, in the bigger picture of things here, as we see, I believe two things. Number one, time is very short. And number two, deception is extremely rampant. So as we look at all of this, to apply what you're saying here to our current, I mean, to apply it beyond the doctrinal aspects, I guess my concern is we are going to be deceived. As Christians, there's going to be this massive delusion. As Christians, we are going to be played, especially our goodwill, good nature, our faith is going to be played. I mean, we're going to be played on our faith. And I guess I'm looking for answers, you know, the bigger picture. How does all of this, like what you're doing, this is not to take issue with Roman Catholicism for the sake of taking issue with Roman Catholicism or Catholicism. This is to extract people from a false doctrine, of which that false doctrine is going to be a plank of the deception that will enslave us in the end of days, where we're approaching prophetically. So this is kind of where we're at. Am I correct in saying that? Maybe that was a long way around of saying it, but you're talking about really billions, literally, of people involved in a faith, a sect of Christianity, who will be a part of this great deception in the end of days that you're appealing to and saying, look, here are some things, here are the errors, and we need to right these wrongs. We need to educate everyone, the Christians in particular, the Catholics in particular, in order to ensure salvation. Is that...
Yeah, that's why the Great Commission is so important. You know, we can't ever forget what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7. He said, many will call him Lord. Many will be doing religious deeds in his name. And then he will say in the end, depart from me, I never knew you. And so there is a false Christianity that the Lord was speaking of. He didn't say a few, but he said many. And as you pointed out, over 1 billion Roman Catholics, they worship a false Christ. They call him Lord, but they will one day hear those terrifying words. And Jesus said it's the word of God that will condemn them on the last day. That's John 12:48. And so when Roman Catholics choose to follow their traditions of men rather than the word of God, they're making a choice that one day they will be held accountable for not knowing the word of God and the gospel. And so it's for this reason why the Great Commission is so important. One out of four people in the world are Roman Catholic. One out of four Americans are Roman Catholic. They're everywhere, and they need to know the truth. The very nature of deception is they will never know it unless someone who's been entrusted with the truth will lovingly confront them.
Yeah, I always found that really, really important for people to understand. It's difficult to understand you are part of a delusion, or you're taking part of a delusion when you are in the midst of that delusion. I'm sure there are many analogies. I don't need to use an analogy, but yes, you're correct. So,
but, you know, it really comes down to what is your authority for truth? Where do you go for truth? Because if someone were to ask me, how do I know I'm not deluded? I would say, because my trust is in the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. God cannot lie. He cannot break a promise. I am trusting what he has revealed through his scriptures. That's why I know I'm not deluded. You see, someone else cannot say that who doesn't have the Bible as their authority. Because if you don't have the Bible as your authority, then you leave yourself wide open to deception. And that's why the prince of this world, the devil, looks like he's winning the battle for the souls of men, because people are not looking to the word of God. Instead, they're believing all of Satan's false religions. You know, there's only one true religion, And that was Judaism. And Jesus put an end to it when he gave his life on a cross. And the veil separating the Holy of Holies from sinful man was torn open from top to bottom, showing that now, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus, you have direct access to God. You no longer need priest offering sacrifices for sin, because the perfect high priest, Jesus Christ, offered himself, the perfect sacrifice, to a perfect God who demands perfection. So anyone who will trust Christ has direct access to God, and they're no longer susceptible to being deceived by the father of lies. And more than anything, I think if people would only know two things, that Jesus Christ is sufficient to save sinners completely and forever, and the Word of God is the supreme authority for truth. Just those two things alone would turn the world upside down. We need to proclaim it.
Absolutely. Mike, we're coming up against our break. When we come back, got a couple of questions for you. Some interesting things. Is the church in a crisis in this 21st century? What biblical doctrines is Satan attacking today? We're going to get into that on the other side. Folks, you're listening to Mike Gendron from ProclaimingTheGospel.org. That's ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Bookmark that site. Go there. Check out the content from YouTube videos to social media. And sign up there for the free newsletter. Again, ProclaimingTheGospel.org. We'll be right back with Mike Gendron with our final segment with him. And Pastor Langford will be with us in the final hour from TheVoiceOfEvangelism.com. Stay with us.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thank you so much, folks, for joining us. Thank you so much for being part of our extended family of listeners. We really appreciate each and every one of you. And we've got emails from listeners all across the United States, Canada, South and Central America, as well as Europe, listening live. Thank you so much. Yet, absolutely, we are covering important information with our special guest. However, we also have our finger on the pulse of what is taking place. Now, yesterday during the first hour, we gave you the headline that's going to appear in tomorrow's Washington Post. Yes, 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 we did. You know, folks, that Comey was told, director of the FBI, Comey, he was told about the content of the materials found on Anthony Weiner's laptop in early October. We told you that right after the seizure, in fact, the day of the seizure of his devices, that was October 3rd, we told you that the task force, the investigators who confiscated that equipment, had told Comey, hey, we've got a problem. If you go back and listen to our show yesterday, the first hour, and I believe on Monday as well, we had indicated exactly that. That, of course, is going to be your news headline, Washington Post, tomorrow. Why is that important? It's important because, folks, we are being played. And as we're being played, that's why guests like Mike Gendron are so important, because this is all part of a bigger picture of the spirit of deception. Deception is among us. It's permeated everywhere, and that certainly it's not exclusive to politics. It's not exclusive to everything secular. It is also pervasive in our faith. Joe?
We're talking with Mike Gendron. Mike, can you give out the offer on your website, ProclaimingTheGospel.org, to listeners again?
Yes, we're offering anyone who will mention Hagman and Hagman Radio Show, we're giving 10% off your order on any and all of our resources that are found on our website at ProclaimingTheGospel.org. Our resources include a book that I wrote entitled Preparing for Eternity. It speaks the truth and love to Roman Catholics. It's a great book to give with the season of giving gifts coming up. But it's also an excellent handbook for any Christian to read so they can understand Roman Catholicism better and the scriptures that they can use to expose the lies of the devil that are so rampant throughout the church. We also have 16 different DVDs, and each DVD contains two PowerPoint messages. And that's how we began our ministry, by showing a video in our home, and we saw 17 Roman Catholics exchange their religion for a relationship with Christ. We have six different gospel tracts that are excellent tools for sharing the gospel, sowing the seed of God's word. We also have a very interesting gospel resource. It's called Gospel Cards, and I took the 12 most important words of the gospel, placed one on each card, and then defined and explained what each word meant using scripture on the back of the card. So it's not only an excellent tool to use in evangelism as you lay the cards out in front of whoever you're witnessing to, but it's also an opportunity to go deeper into the gospel, to understand what these 12 words mean and the impact they can have on someone's life who has been deceived by religious deception. So these are all available on our website, proclaimingthegospel.org, and just mention Hagman and Hagman, and we'll give you a 10% discount.
Excellent. Now, you just mentioned the religious deception, and you know, judging by statistics and you know, how many, you said 1 in 4 people on the and the planet are Roman or Catholics, and Catholics, and we know that many of these other branches or arms of the Christian Church have somewhat of their own doctrine, have different, you know, Bibles printed out with words changed and things taken out and put in. And this is the religious deception we're talking about. But the Bible also talks about a great deception and a growing apostasy in the last days. First, how will this differ from the religious deception that we have been dealing with since, you know, 400 AD, since the inception of the Catholic Church, and even, you know, before that with the Gnosticism? Will this be different from a religious deception?
Well, that's a great question, because a lot of people are not aware that there's been two streams of Christianity operating side by side now for 2,000 years. Right after the Lord Jesus went to the cross to die for his church and began building his church, we had an apostate form of Christianity also being formed. And we know that from John's first epistle. He said they went out from us because they were never part of us. Had they been part of us, they would have remained with us. And so John was saying that if they had been born again, they would have stayed with us, but since they were false converts, they went out from us and began a false brand of Christianity. And so later on, in 300, 400 AD, the Roman Catholic Church put aside the teachings and of Christ and his word, and they started following the teachings and traditions of men. And so that's the nature of apostasy. Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. He says, in latter times some will depart from the faith and devote themselves to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And we know for a fact that that's what the Catholic Church did, because Paul goes on to explain what one of the doctrines of demons would be, and that is forbidding people to marry. And so the Roman Catholic religion is the only religion that names the name of Christ that forbids its people to marry, and speaking, of course, of the clergy. And so that is a doctrine of the devil. And not too long ago, I had a couple of Roman Catholic nuns visit our church, and they were easily identifiable because they were wearing their habits. And so afterwards, I engaged them and asked them what brought them to our church. And they said, well, we're taking a college course, and we were told to go out and examine other religions and do a survey. And so they began asking questions about what went on in our church service, and each time they asked a question, I opened the Bible and showed them why we did what we did. And this went on for about 15 minutes, and they were about ready to leave, and I said, before you go, can I ask you a question? And I said, is it true that you are forbidden to marry? And they said, oh yes, as nuns, we've taken a vow of celibacy. And I said, did you happen to know that's a doctrine of the devil? And I opened to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I let them read it, and they both gasped. They said, wow, we're going to have to tell our priests about this and ask them what we need to do. And so there you go. They recognized that what they were practicing was a doctrine of the devil. And I told them, after you check with your priest, make sure he answers your questions with the authority of God's word. Otherwise, don't believe him. So I gave them a couple of our gospel tracts and encouraged them to believe the word of God over the teachings of their church. But you see, that's what apostasy is. It's putting aside the word of God to follow deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, traditions of men, and that's what happened to the Catholic Church. And so after the Reformation, we had the reformers that were embracing the truth of God's word. But sure enough, in latter years, many of those denominations that were formed after the Reformation have also put aside the word of God and have become either social clubs or seeker-friendly churches, and they no longer follow the word of God or proclaim the gospel, and so they too have drifted into apostasy. So we can see the devil is alive and well. He is the master deceiver, and a lot of people aren't aware of the many different attacks that he is attacking our churches with. It all started with an attack on the supremacy of God's word, and it started in the Garden of Eden when Satan asked the question of Eve, has God really said that? Why would Satan attack the supremacy of God's word? Well, because he knows it's the supreme authority for the Christian faith. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for correcting, rebuking, and teaching. And so you can use the word of God to correct any false doctrine. We also know he's attacking the supremacy of God's word because it is the truth that exposes all of his lies. It's also the very seed that brings forth eternal life. So Satan is doing a masterful job on attacking the supremacy of God's word. We also know that one of his attacks is on the severity of God's punishment. We talked briefly tonight that the Catholic Church has come up with an intermediate place called purgatory, denying the severity of God's punishment, that all sins are mortal and all sins are punishable by the eternal lake of fire if people die without Christ. So Catholics have what is called a safety net, this intermediate place called purgatory, because the devil has attacked the severity of God's punishment. The devil also attacks the sufficiency of God's Son. And we know that his attack on the sufficiency of God's Son is what the Catholic Church has fallen prey to, because they deny the sufficiency of Christ. They believe that Christ's death merely opened the gates of heaven. Now each Catholic must attain their own salvation by doing works necessary to gain eternal life. And this, of course, is a lie of the devil that puts people on the wide road to destruction rather than on the narrow road of the divine accomplishment. We also know that Satan has attacked the doctrine of the security of God's children. Over half of professing Christianity denies the assurance of eternal life given to those who are born again. The devil has attacked the sovereignty of God's grace. I mentioned earlier that Roman Catholic priests believe they take the role of the Holy Spirit in bringing those who are dead in their sins to life in Christ through the sacrament of baptism. We know from John chapter 3 that the work of regeneration is a work of the Holy Spirit, and so Satan has also attacked that. But I think more than ever we see him attacking the sanctity of God's church. We have seen the unity between Roman Catholics and evangelicals growing in ecumenical fervor. A recent poll by Lifeway Research is very alarming. It dared to say that two-thirds of Protestant and evangelical pastors now believe Pope Francis is their brother in Christ. This is just mind-boggling when 500 years ago, the reformers were calling the Pope Antichrist, and now we have people that have forgotten or dismissed the Reformation and calling the Pope our brother in Christ.
If I can interrupt here, that's interesting. Now, is that not true? Or let me rephrase that. you've got this melding, this strange melding of Islam as well, right? Because we're seeing this push for a just this single state religion as the time is getting short. That statistic is wow. What about Islam as we see, you know, the Pope reaching out, the Vatican reaching out to Muslims and such? Is that similar?
He's building a wide bridge to the Muslim faith. In fact, this may surprise you, in paragraph 841 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is their official authority, it dares to say that Islam is part of God's plan of salvation. Islam, who denies the deity of Christ, Islam, who denies that Jesus went to the cross to die for the sins of his people, Islam, who denies that Jesus Christ is the only way, they are said to be part of God's plan of salvation. In this same religion, the Catholic religion, condemns born-again Christians over 100 times with its anathemas. I mean, if people would just wake up and see what's going on, they would see that the Roman Catholic religion is a false religion. It's a false brand of Christianity, and it's deceiving over 1 billion people, daring to say that a religion that denies the deity of Christ is on their way to heaven, but yet born-again Christians are condemned with anathemas. I think that really paints the picture as to what kind of religion the Roman Catholic Church is.
And you said something a few minutes back about, we kind of skipped over this. You said half of evangelicals deny the saving power of Jesus after they've been born again?
Yeah, they deny the security of the believer. You know, in 1 John 5:13, John writes to those who believe in the name of the Son of God so that they may know that they have eternal life. And so God wants us to know now that the promise of the gospel is eternal life, and it's backed up by the power of God. Our inheritance is kept in heaven, according to 1 Peter chapter 1. And so over half of professing Christianity, not only Roman Catholics, but also Methodists and Church of Christ and other liberal Protestant denominations, all deny the promise of the gospel. And they need to be evangelized. And so this broadcast is not only about exposing the errors of Roman Catholicism, but also exposing any error that goes against the truth of God's Word that is being embraced by many Protestant denominations.
And we see that today. And, you know, in the past, it has been more about this religious spirit. But today we see more of the world encroaching on the church, and the church accepting what the world is doing. You know, homosexual marriage, for one, is something that is a big point of contention inside the church. You have the abortion arguments. And are we seeing a turn where the church is done influencing the world for a time being, and the world has begun to influence the church?
Yeah, very well put. Unfortunately, the church is no longer the salt and light, and the culture has actually won the battle over the church. And you see that often in these seeker-friendly churches. You know, the church has a great commission to go out into the world, proclaim the gospel to unbelievers, but instead the church is inviting the world in. And so pastors now are spending more time entertaining the goats than equipping the sheep. And so you've got the world coming into our churches with all of their traditions and all of their entertainment. And so when you have goats instead of sheep, you have to keep them by entertaining them. And so the Word of God is put aside, and now pastors are doing skits and different things to keep the goats in, because ultimately that's the nature of these seeker-friendly churches. They have big mortgages they got to cover. They got to keep people coming back. But, you know, if you look out over all the preachers in America today, I think you could divide them into three different categories. Fortunately, there are still preachers who preach the whole counsel of God, exhorting their people in sound doctrine and refuting those who contradict. These pastors are on the endangered species list because you very seldom find them. And then you have another group called the seeker-friendly pastors. They avoid sound doctrine. They cater to man's desires with ear-tickling words. Paul said this would happen in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. And then lastly, you have another group of pastors who secretly introduce destructive heresies and malign the way of truth. And more than ever, we're seeing many of those people come into our pulpits. And after all, Satan knows that he can do a better job attacking the church from within than from outside the church. And so the Lord Jesus warned us. He said, the devil will come and sow his tares in the church. Then they will rise to positions of influence and even become deacons and elders and pastors. And then the church has been turned over to Satan. So more than ever, I think we need to point people to biblically sound churches. I can tell you that that is the most frequently asked question that we get in our ministry from all over America. People email us and call us and ask us, where can we find a church that faithfully exegetes the Word of God and stands firmly on the truth of God's Word? They're very, very hard to find. And that's why radio programs like yours are so important, to challenge people to spend more time in the Word and test every man's teaching with the Word of God. That's one of my favorite verses whenever I do conferences. Paul went to the synagogue in Berea, and he noticed that as he was preaching, his listeners were searching the Scriptures to test the veracity of his teaching. Here you have an apostle who wrote over half the New Testament. He didn't get offended when they were testing his teaching with Scripture, with the authority of God's Word. He commended them. And so that should be a principle for all of us. Whenever we hear a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist, we need to test what he says with the supreme authority of God's Word. Otherwise, we leave ourselves open to deception. And so, again, I don't want people to believe what I say. I point them to the Scriptures and plead with them to believe what God has written in His Word.
Amen. We got about 4 minutes left, Mike. You want to promote any upcoming appearances or anything you have in the near future?
Yes, I'm going to be preaching at First Baptist Dallas, which is pastored by Robert Jeffers. He's often the guest speaker on Fox News Channel. And so I will be down at his church a week from Sunday night. And anybody that's in the Dallas area can sure come to that. I'll be in Naples, Florida, the 1st of January, then up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the second week of January, over in El Paso the third week. All of my speaking engagements are listed on our website. We also present them in our free monthly electronic newsletter. It goes out via email the first of every month. And I really encourage your listeners to sign up, because I keep you abreast of all the activity coming out of the Vatican, all the bridges they're building to unite all the people of the world under the power and influence of the church, the papacy. And so it brings you up to date. And one of the things I think your listeners would be able to understand the strategy of the Roman Catholic Church better is when you look at Roman Catholic eschatology, the study of last times, they don't believe Jesus will return again until the whole world is made Roman Catholic. And so that's why you have this Jesuit Pope fulfilling the Jesuit agenda to bring all people to the Roman Catholic Church. Born-again Christians and Protestants are called separated brethren, and so they're pleading with us to come back to Holy Mother the Church for the fullness of salvation. And they tell us what we are lacking is the Eucharist. Until we come back to feed on the physical body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the form of the Eucharist, we will not have the fullness of salvation. So that is the calling card, and that's why you see many Protestants leaving their churches to go back to Rome. There's a sense of formality there, and so they're tired of the seeker-friendly movement, and they want more of a formal religion, so that's a drawing card for the Catholic Church. But we need to warn them that it is an apostate religion, and all they're going to do is worship a false Christ, which is a sin of idolatry. And that's what our ministry is about, to warn people about the errors of the Catholic Church, point them to the truth of God's Word that will set them free. And our resources are available on our website. And again, if anybody mentions Hagman and Hagman, we will give them a 10% discount for any resource and all the resources that they order, placing their first order. So our website is proclaimingthegospel.org. They can also call us at 972-495-0485, and we will be here to encourage them and equip them to be faithful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we mentioned earlier, we need to have a sense of urgency. God doesn't promise anyone tomorrow. We are now living in a nation that has very little hope. It is spiraling out of control. It is filled with corruption and deceit. And we need to point people to the perfect man who still sits on his throne. He sovereignly controls all events. And he is the perfect man of God, God's perfect man and man's perfect God. One day he will rule and reign in righteousness. But until then, we have to put up with what's going on and give people hope by pointing them to the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rules and reigns sovereignly from his throne in heaven.
Amen, brother. You know, how well said. Thank you so very much, Mike Gendron. My gosh, what a blessing to have you on, and thank you so much for all of your work. Thank you so much for your special offer for our listeners. I'd encourage everyone to take advantage of that. Please, folks, visit his website. Definitely take advantage of the offer and follow him in terms of his upcoming appearances. Thank you so much for spending your time tonight.
Well, it's been a privilege and a blessing, and thank you so much for having me, and maybe sometime in the future we can do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're going to count on it. All right. Fantastic.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great night.
That was an amazing, you know, folks, we are being inundated day in and day out, hourly, it seems like we're being inundated with all of these headlines. Again, Comey, knowing about the emails, just the fact that we have to talk about this, or just the fact that this is important in our current environment, the fact that we've got this disgraced senator who happens to be the husband of the person closest to the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, going to a sex clinic. You've got everything. Just the data dump about good elements within the FBI concerning the death of Foster, as well as the Rich pardon, showing the continuing course of criminal conduct of the Clinton cabal at the 11th hour, so to speak, in this historic election period for Americans. And I dare say that this is one of them, this will be the most important election of our lifetimes. I believe that. And you know, this guest, other guests, we're not talking about pure political problems. I mean, no, we're talking about spiritual bankruptcy of our country. That's the root of our problems, our spiritual bankruptcy. We're going to be right back to you, right where you're at. Pastor Langford, coming up.